The Michael K. Show podcast is brought to you by the new 2010 Lincoln MKS with available EcoBoost technology, 355 horsepower, and 350 pounds of torque. Lincoln, reach higher.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Exclusive interviews and nonstop Team 1050 coverage. Now, it's the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's time for 1050's New York Jets Player Spotlight, brought to you by Metro PCS. Metro PCS gives you unlimited talk, text, and web for just $40 a month. Metro PCS, unlimit yourself. And in the Jet Player Spotlight today is Chris Jenkins. Chris, how you doing?
My name is Howard Green. Chris had to go somewhere, so I'm stepping in for him.
Who is this?
Howard Green.
Howard Green.
This is Chris. This is Chris.
Oh, at least you're in a good mood. That's good.
Trying to get back to it.
Now, let me ask you this, Chris. I look at this and I say, okay, the first four games, they're 3-1. That's outstanding. But do you look at it that way, or do you say, hey, we lost yesterday?
Both. I mean, you know, it was one of the things that the coaches were talking about today, and Monday's always a hard day to deal with after a loss. But you have to understand that after the first quarter of the season, of the regular season, we are sitting at 3-1, and we're at number one in our division, and we definitely have a shot at our goal still, but it is always tough coming off of a loss.
Now, you lose 24-10, but let's be honest, not that I want you to throw your quarterback under the bus, but that was really 10 points that you guys allowed and 14 points that Mark allowed. You guys as a defense stopped a really good offense. So let's just look at that part of it, Chris. Defensively, are you guys happy with the game you played?
No, not at all.
Really?
We didn't win. And honestly, the defense is our job. When we go out there, we always focus on our job because that's what we do. But at the end of this day, we're a team. And anything that happens out there as a team, we're going to take responsibility of it as a team. And I think a lot of people have to understand that with a young quarterback such as Mark, sometimes there are going to be some mistakes, but I'm not going to throw him under the bus. I don't care if anybody lets me. I'm not going to throw my quarterback under the bus. He'll be better. He's going to get it together. I have confidence in him, and we'll be fine. But that wasn't an acceptable performance by us as a team.
Yeah, but again, I understand that, and you're doing the right thing as a teammate, and we saw how you talked with Mark in the middle of the game, put your hand on his shoulder. But I'm just saying, as a defense, to stop that offense, you guys did everything you could, and you still couldn't have won the game because you gave up 10 points, and then Mark gave up 14 with the interception and the fumble. I'm just asking you defensively, that schematic, were you happy with the way you guys played the Saints?
I still know. I mean, you have to understand that one part of the game that I really have to take upon myself, that offside that I had at that time just was damaging to what we were trying to do. We still had an opportunity to go out and win, and even with that, it could have been a different performance. And I had to take responsibility for that. You have to understand that, you know, they did get, 100-plus yards running on the ground as well. So, I mean, these are things that we just don't find as acceptable for us as a defense. So even though, yeah, we held them to, 10 points and we had a good goal line stand and a couple of good things that we did, we still have to get better. And I know a lot of people look at the performance and they say, like, yeah, okay, you guys did a good job, but it still wasn't good enough to be considered Jets football.
Chris, your fellow Terrapin, Bonnie Bernstein here. Quick question regarding the goal line stands. I know you might not have been happy overall, but particularly the one early in the second quarter where Bush bounced outside, had a nice little run. Can you tell us what the chatter was like in the huddle as you're gearing up for those goal line stands? Because those were pretty fierce.
Well, we have a saying here that you're not in there unless you're in there. And it was a good tackle by David Harris to keep Phillips out of the end zone. But when we got to the goal line stands, we said, look, they're not in here till they're in there. And we just knew that it was a time for us to go on ahead and make a stance and just show how good we were. So everybody was excited given the situation. I know a lot of people see a situation like that and think that, guys think the worst. But we were actually excited to prove what type of defense we were.
On that drive where you jumped off sides, resulting in the Thomas touchdown later on, how spent were you as a defense because of the amount of time you were on the field?
We were a little bit tired. I mean, I can't tell you a lie and say that we were fine. I mean, certain things like that, sometimes they happen because of being a little bit tired, being a little bit under the gun as far as pressure is concerned. I mean, it was an honest mistake by me. But, yeah, I was a little bit tired at that point. And I can't lie, it was a tough game. I mean, they did a good job, and they outplayed us. So, you know, we definitely kind of got thrown under the bus as a team.
Now, Chris, let me ask you about the offside specifically. Was that because of the cadence of Breeze, or were you just too anxious trying to push the center back?
Combination of both.
Uh-huh.
Combination of both. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, it's, you live by the gun, you die by the gun. I mean, part of my game is explosion and getting off the ball, timing it perfectly, and creating havoc. But every blue moon, sometimes it'll backfire on me. So it's something that I understand that sometimes it comes with the territory, but at the same time, I'm not going to become less aggressive because of that mistake. I still have to continue to play the type of ball that I play. It was just an honest mistake.
What did you learn about the top-ranked offense in football that you didn't see on film during the week?
I mean, honestly, I don't think that we learned anything new when we played them. I mean, what we saw on film was pretty consistent out there. I mean, they're a solid outfit. They played great. They played hard for four quarters. They never gave up. I mean, they played a great game on defense. They played a great game on offense. I mean, they did everything that it took to win, and that's what we saw on film. And, you know, they remain consistent.
Chris Jenkins is our guest on the Jets Player Spotlight here on the Michael K Show, 1050 ESPN New York. You know, we mentioned it earlier. I saw it and I said, wow, that's a great teammate thing to do. What were you saying to Mark Sanchez on the sidelines when you went over him? Looked like you put your hands on his shoulders.
You know, I was just telling him to relax. Honestly, you know, he's a great guy. And he, honestly, I think that a lot of people would be so surprised to see that he's not out here just for the notoriety or the publicity. I mean, he really takes a lot of the whole thing upon his shoulders as far as just, you know, being a great guy in the locker room and just, you know, getting the respect of his teammates. So when that happened, of course he took it upon himself and he got a little bit down because he didn't want to let his teammates down. But I was just telling him that, you know, sometimes things happen. He has to understand that this is a game. He's going to have time to go out here and, you know, do good things, and he needs to just stay positive about it.
What did you see from either Sanchez's body language or conversation you've had with him after the game and at the complex this morning that leads you to believe that this won't affect him at all?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think that, you know, at the game, it did affect him somewhat. But I think today he came in and he looked at this day like a man should, and he took it upon himself. He saw what things he did good. He saw what mistakes he made, and he learned to shrug it off. And that's what you want to see. You want to see somebody shrug it off, and they understand that, okay, yeah, I got to make sure that I play good next week because I got to do something to, you know, kind of get this out of my memory. But at the same time, he understands what he has to do, and I think he will be fine.
I know it's early, but any thoughts on Miami coming up Monday?
I think it's going to be a very tough physical game. I think that they're going to be trying to come out and establish the run game against us and do a lot of things to just control the ball and control the game. And I think that it's really going to be a battle at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
And before we let you go, Chris, when the coaches spoke to you guys today, was it positive? Was it negative? What was the tenor of the day at Jets at the Jets facility?
It was positive, but still it was honest. It was positive and so on, but it was brutally honest. I mean, you know, you can't look at it as a negative when somebody honestly tells you that, okay, this was wrong, this was right, this was wrong. I mean, nobody was taking it lightly on any of the guys here, but at the same time, you know, they just wanted to kind of reassure everybody that, you know, we still have a lot of season to go and we can still do everything that we want to do.
All right, Chris, what was the name that you used when you came on? Who's Howard?
Howard.
Yeah, when you said this isn't crew, when you were joking around when you first came on, you said this is, who's that
Howard,
name?
Howard's one of my teammates. He's one of my partners on the D-line. So what happened is I asked him because y'all put me on hold for quite a while and I was getting a little bit anxious to go and get on the treadmill. Yeah, I got to go get on the treadmill. So when y'all left me on the phone, I asked Howard, could he step in for me and be my spot double? And he said no. So I said, I'm going to use your name anyway. So I just...
Perfect. You got us. I'll tell you that. Chris, thanks for popping on with us, and we appreciate your time.
All right, thank you.
You got it. 1050's New York Jets Player Spotlight brought to you by MetroPCS. MetroPCS gives you unlimited talk, text, and web for just $40 a month. MetroPCS, unlimit yourself.
He doesn't strike me as somebody that is anxious to get on the treadmill.
Is he still trying to cut weight? I wanted to ask him if he's still trying to cut weight.
Well, I'm just saying he had a long game. They were on the field for a long time. I don't think anybody anxiously anticipates to get on the treadmill.
The guy's a worker, man.
He just doesn't like to wait.
It shows you the work ethic of a Maryland Terrapin.
Well, because I joke around, I can't get any support from the staff of people.
Wait, the work ethic of a Maryland Terrapin and your coach is about 700 pounds.
That's true.
You're worthless.
I left him on hold, and I feel guilty.
I like Ralph Friedgen, but he's
really
about seven bills.
Are you really busting on Ralph
Friedgen? He's about 700 bills, so, I mean, you really can't play.
That doesn't mean he's never gotten on a treadmill in his life. He just likes food a lot, that's all.
You thought I was going after his weight. That was not what I was doing.
So
I was
you
just
were saying that he worked so hard yesterday.
One of my questions, they were gassed at the end of that game. Does he strike you as someone that does anybody look forward to getting on the treadmill?
And what was the last name of the guy
used? I don't even remember.
Ryan, did you hear?
Howard Green. No, you said Howard Green.
He said Howard Green. Okay.
I know exactly what he said.
Okay. Howard Green. It was well thought out. I like it.
What I'm bewildered about, Don, how many shows did you do this past weekend? Did you work every hour of the day?
I mean, this is really not 1050 ESPN. This is 1050 Don McGregor.
You're worthless.
What'd they do? Slave drag you all weekend?
Yeah, I broke down. I joked around. I broke the Saints Jets game down like it was the Super Bowl.
Howard Green, number 95 D tackle.
Wow, you don't even know. That's scary. Bonnie doesn't know who he is.
But you know what?
Really
Bonnie does have her.
But I do
chart.
Have my flip card right here, just
See,
in case.
Don and I do not have
Bible.
A flip chart, but Bonnie does.
I got my 3 deep here with the rosters and alphabetical.
How deep is Howard?
No, it's pink too. It's cute.
How deep is Howard? Howard would be on the third deep portion of the 3 deep.
I got to be honest, because I am honest.
I did not know the guy.
He is
did
someone,
you know the guy,
no,
Don?
Now that you say it, it comes together.
We're always honest on the show.
That is somebody
fifth year out of LSU.
6'2", 320. That is somebody that you'd want that would be anxious to jump on the treadmill.
You also think that would be a guy that'd be anxious to get on the air. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. How long did you have the guy on hold, Joe? He's a big star. He'd sit on you.
You're 2 minutes. I'm sorry. I apologize. 2 minutes. He didn't want to call back.
You do not make Terps wait, Joey.
Ralph Friedgen doesn't like to wait at a restaurant either. Anyway, Joey.
Please
don't keep Mike Golic on hold.
Mister, I still have my Wii in a box.
I do have my Wii in a box.
But Mr. Golic just called recently. He's on hold right now waiting, but he's happy to be on hold because he's no big star.
Golic, we'll be right with you, bud.
Mike Golic's going to be with us in just a second.
Hang on.
And Chris Berman at 4. We usually hang on for Chris. The Michael K Show, we roll till 7, 1050 ESPN New York.
I like that. I like that.
Ready to take with you anywhere. It's the Michael K Show podcast.
I want to remind everybody that the Michael K Show tomorrow will start at noon. Not 2, it's going to start at noon. Why, you say? Because the Twins and the Tigers game, the playoff game, the one-game playoff, is going to be at 5 o'clock, and we'll carry it for you because we know it's important. Yankee fans want to know who the Yankees are going to be playing in the first round of the playoffs. So we will start at noon tomorrow, and we'll have our regular 5 hours, noon to 5. But please make sure to tune in earlier than normal. And that is important. Very, very important. Coming up is Rex Ryan, the head coach of the Jets.
You have to understand that after the first quarter of the season, of the regular season, we are sitting at 3-1, and we're at number one in our division, and we definitely have a shot at our goal still, but it is always tough coming off of a loss.
And that's Chris Jenkins on the Metro PCS Jets Player Spotlight and Unlimit Yourself. And now we bring in Coach Rex Ryan of the New York Jets. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Now, nobody likes to take anything positive. Well, nobody likes to look at positives in a loss, but you'd have to be pretty proud, I would think. Although Chris Jenkins said that, you know, we made mistakes as well. I thought your defense did very well against a very good offense. What's your take?
You know, at times we did. I thought, you know, we bowed our necks on a goal line stand and all that. But again, You know, I mean, I guess we played okay, but you know, on defense. But again, it's a team loss all the way. There's certainly some things that we could have done better on defense. I think we had a chance to really shut them down. But you know, to their credit, to New Orleans' credit, they were able to make some plays on us, and unfortunately, you know, come away with a victory against us.
Now, Coach, I know you're a perfectionist, and you want to win every single game, but holding that team in that stadium to 10 points, I mean, that is a great offense. Still, you found some fault?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, we got to stop the run better. And, you know, I think our back end did an outstanding, you know, we're playing without three starters, two of them in the secondary and our best pass rusher, or one of them anyway. And we were able to hold the passing game down. But I was disappointed in the way we played the run. We got to do a much better job of that. And, you know, we're playing Miami this week, and, you know, they run the ball better than New Orleans does.
You've been dealing the first 4 weeks with your defense without Calvin Pace. How do you expect he will really help your defense out getting back for the first time on Sunday?
I think Calvin's one of the stars in the NFL. So I think as far as, you know, I think we saw it in all the preseason games and in training camp. He's clearly one of our best players. You know, the guys did a nice job filling in for Calvin, but I'm really happy to get Calvin back. I think it's going to give us a huge bump.
Now, Coach, you don't want to lose any game, as I mentioned, and you lose yesterday. But can you step back for a moment, and did you say this to your team at all? Hey, listen, if we go 3-1 in every quarter of the season, we're 12-4, we probably have a first-round bye. Can you look at these four games and go, you know what, that's a job well done?
Not really.
Really?
I mean, yeah, no, I mean, you step back, you look where you're at right now. You know, right now we're still on top of our division because we did win the head-to-head battle with New England. But, you know, again, especially, you know, even like whether win, lose, or draw, you're still, you know, everything we're going to do is just focus on the next opponent and, you know, not worry about, you know, looking down the road. We just got to focus on playing against Miami.
Did you like what you saw out of Sean Green, and can we expect more carries coming up against Miami?
Well, I hope we get the opportunity to carry the football more. You know, I think, you know, not just with Sean, but with Thomas and Leon. You know, I think, you know, we've been averaging more rushing attempts in the first three games than we did yesterday. And that goes without saying when you're, you know, when you are down 14 points for most of the game is what we were. But, you know, we got to be true to ourselves. We got to be able to stop the run better on defense, and we need to run the ball. And I thought at times yesterday our running game looked great. You know, you mentioned Sean Green. You know, it was exciting to get him some carries and things like that. But, you know, I was proud of Thomas Jones, the way he played as well.
John, with Rex Ryan, the head coach of the Jets, his weekly segment here on the Michael Kay Show. Let's talk about the quarterback, probably his worst game of the four. I guess you could look at this as just rookie growing pains. Is that the way you look at it, Coach?
Yeah, it's very similar to the game that Joe Flacco had last year when we played against the Titans the first game. I think he threw four picks, and, you know, we were like, oh, man, you know, but it's just one of those things. You got to give the opponent credit. You know, they did a great job. They made a lot of big plays. You know, obviously the 99-yard interception return was a killer because worst comes to worst, we're going to be tied, you know, with a field goal. And then be able to kick off. And Jay was doing a nice job with his kickoff. So you're basically putting the ball on the 20-yard line. You know, so that was a big turn. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, this was clearly, you know, Mark's worst game of the year. But, you know, shoot, we just got to grow from it and learn from some of the mistakes that he made and we made as a football team, and also realize that, you know, hey, you got to rely on each other. You can't just, you know, put it on your shoulders. I've got to do this or I've got to do that, whether it's I'm talking to Mark Sanchez or Chris Jenkins. You know, we just got to go out and be part of the, you know, part of the solution, part of the team, and, you know, rely on each other.
You know, he was very forthright after the game, Coach, and I'm wondering, did you say anything to him to make him feel better? He obviously put the entire loss on his shoulders.
Well, that's it, and he doesn't need to do that. You know, we just got to get better. I know as a football team, we don't believe that it was that we lost that game because of the way Mark played. Clearly it was a team loss. You know, New Orleans was the better team that day, and it's, you know, hard to accept, but that's just the facts. And we got to, you know, find a way to, you know, to tighten up what we're doing. And we know we're a better football team than what we showed yesterday, and we look forward to proving it on Monday night in front of a national audience.
Well, certain mistakes, Coach, like the pick that Sharper got, were obviously Sanchez's fault, but you've called out the offensive line specific to the run blocking. Saints were in Sanchez's face quite a bit yesterday. How do you rate the play of your offensive line, run blocking as well as pass protection?
No, I think it was pretty good for the most part. I mean, really good. We averaged 4.8 a carry, and, you know, on 27 attempts, I think we would have liked to have run the ball even more than that. So I think we played pretty well up front, but again, like Alan Fanick, I thought, had a tremendous game. You know, there was a lot of good, you know, efforts. You know, I thought our inside guys in particular played really well. But, you know, it wasn't as good a game for, you know, some guys as it was others. And, you know, but in this thing, you know, you win games together and you lose games together. And unfortunately, that wasn't our game.
A lot of three and outs in the second half. Did you get a sense your defense was wearing down?
I felt we were a little bit, but you know, again, you know, if you want to stay fresh, then make them go three and out yourself. And, you know, and I thought our guys stepped up and for the most part played pretty well, you know, in that third quarter. But, you know, we had that long drive against us.
Some questions about play calling, Coach. There were two third and one situations where the call was for Sanchez to throw the ball. Any particular reaction as to whether that was the best choice?
Well, I mean, if, you know, having the benefit of hindsight, I'd say we should have run it. But, you know, it's, you know, some of those plays come in with run-pass options as well. And if you get a certain look, we know exactly what coverage it is. We feel good about our chances on the outside. Then sometimes you'll take a shot in there. But it just, you know, you got to give New Orleans credit. They made some plays, and we weren't able to come up with them.
And the play in the end zone when Mark lost the ball, was stripped of the ball for the touchdown. Is that just a repetition thing where he has the clock going in his head and he's going to learn how long he could hold on to it, Rex?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he, you know, when he's looking at the pass rush, he made a decision. He felt the pass rush. He knew he had time. He could beat the person to his left, but what he wasn't counting on is the guy flying over the top.
Right.
The back end, and that's twice that's happened to him, so he's got to understand that, you know, you got to kind of put that clock in your head that, you know, especially down in that situation, that, you know, number one, you better be protecting the football, and you better get rid of it.
Now, you played a really good team, and you end up losing the game, Coach. I'm just wondering, you go into the, you know, the lion's den, so to speak, a loud place, and for all intents and purposes, if not for Mark's two mistakes, I mean, it's a very, very, very close game. Do you look at that and gauge yourself and say, you know what, we can play with anybody. We can come down here and we can do this. We can play with anybody.
I think we can definitely play with anybody. You know, I think we proved that in the first 3 weeks of the season as well. I mean, when we beat New England, when we, you know, beat Tennessee, who, you know, doesn't look like the same team after we played them, and even the opener against, you know, at Houston, which is not an easy place to play, and I think everybody is realizing that that's a pretty good offensive football team that we played. Their defense may struggle, but that's a good offensive team. So I know we can play with anybody in this league. It's just a matter of going out, executing. You know, you're right. It could have been a much closer game than it appeared on the scoreboard. But, you know, it is, you know, I hate to give the opponent too much credit in saying that they were the better team yesterday, but they were. And we just got to, you know, find a way to maximize, you know, who we are and to get better on the practice field and to go out where we can show, you know, show our fans and ourselves that we're a better football team than what we played yesterday.
So much discussion about the Saints offense, but their defense defense was ranked in the top 10. I thought it was pretty good yesterday. Give me your assessment of what you thought their defense brought to the table.
Oh. Well, they scored, you know, had four takeaways and scored twice, you know, and had four sacks. So they clearly had a great game. You know, I never thought their defense was, you know, I thought they were good. I never knew they were, you know, the 85 Bears, but they that's what they looked like yesterday.
You obviously have to keep your guys pumped up, but this is your first loss as a head coach. Mm-hmm. How'd you feel when you got out of bed this morning?
No, I couldn't wait to get to work, and that's how I feel. You know, I hate losing. It's a bad feeling, and you know, but we got to face the music. You know, we that wasn't our day. We never played to the best of our ability, and I think our opponent had a great game. They deserve the win, but you know, I look forward to, you know, this next Monday's game, and you know, we're going to put our best foot forward, and we'll see if that's good enough.
Now, Rex, this is our first time talking to you after a loss, and I might be reading too much into it, but you sound subdued. You sound a little bit down. Do you beat yourself up like this? I mean, are you beating yourself up today? Do you think that you did something wrong, or is it just this is how you handle losses?
No, we share in the loss together. You know, I'm not. You know, I hate losing, and that's
it sounds like it.
That's it, you know, but I love competing, and that's where I can't wait for, you know, I am down right now. I'm down because, you know, it never went our way, but you know, I'm not out, that's for darn sure, and we're certainly not out because we lost one football game. You know, I love the fact that we get to, you know, we're playing against Miami in Miami on a Monday night, nationally televised game, and we're going to be ready. And we'll see if, you know, if we can't get back to our winning ways.
You get the extra day for preparation. Does that change the practice schedule? Do you give the guys a little bit of a breather?
Not really. We're going to give our guys, you know, Tuesday off, and that's always on the schedule. But we'll have meetings on Wednesday. We have a few things that we got to get out of the way, and then we're going to start, you know, with our preparation and all that on Miami. It won't be, you know, that physical of a practice, but we'll get a good jump on them. And then on Wednesday, we should be flying.
Coach, this happened a couple of times, actually a few times on defense, happened again yesterday, 12 men in the huddle. Is that a coaching issue or a player issue when that happens?
What happened is we called a goal line defense, and they were late substituting in regular personnel. And you can still play your goal line defense, but I think when we, you know, we're trying to alert it, I think one of our guys, our corner, saw that they had two wideouts on the field. And even though it's goal line defense, we can play it against any personnel group. I think he, you know, for the most part, we've always stayed in regular. And that was a situation where I just really thought they were going to run the football, so I left goal line out there. He never got off in time. And, you know, it's just, you know, that's an unfortunate thing that happened.
Big offsides by Chris Jenkins, Rex, and he told us earlier, he said, you know what, I always like to try to get a jump. Sometimes you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Is that a tough one for you to take?
That one was, because that's a junior high, you know, situation. You know, look, Chris is the most dominant defensive tackle in football, but, you know, and that, you know, rely on your teammates there. You know, that's another thing of a guy pressing maybe a little too hard, putting everything on his back, and, you know, rely on your teammates, you know, and you guys have already stopped them once, and, you know, that unit's already stopped them once in the same situation. There's no sense we can't stop them again. You know, so just, you know, a little more, you know, just, you know, focus and all that kind of stuff, and understand you don't have to make every play there. And I think that was what it was. I think Chris was just pushing so hard trying to make all the plays himself that, you know, he jumped early. We knew Breeze was going to do that. We had mentioned it in the huddle several times. But again, that's, you know, that happened more of the fact that I think Chris is just trying to you know, make the play himself. And, you know, that's almost to his credit, but it was also to our detriment that, you know, on that particular time.
Well, your day after might be a little tough, but your brother Rob is a defensive coordinator out in Cleveland. The Browns are 0-4. During the season, how much of the two of you talk and lean on each other?
We talk, you know, probably a couple times a week. You know, I know he said that's a, you know, that's tough, but, and I saw where, you know, somebody told me they had got beat while our game was going on, and I will be honest with you, I was thinking, well, all right, well, that's typical. You know, they lose and we win, but that never happened, you know. But, you know, I definitely feel for him. I know what he's going through. I've been through, you know, some situations. I think any coach has. That's really tough. You're desperate. They need a win bad, and, you know, hopefully they'll get it this week.
Final thing, Rex, you're preparing for the Dolphins. How different is the defensive preparation for a Henny than a Pennington?
I can't even really comment on it because I haven't seen, you know, haven't seen the tape from yesterday, so I'm really not sure.
Okay. Well, anyway, we thank you for popping on with us, Rex, and we'll talk to you, I guess, next Tuesday because you've got some work to do on Monday.
Okay, yeah, and hopefully it'll be after victory, which I think it will.
Okay, thanks, Rex.
All right,
I appreciate
you.
It. That's Rex Ryan, coach of the Jets, and hey, let's be honest, he sounds like a completely different guy today. You could tell he is beating himself
doesn't
up about
know?
This
wow.
Llama. He really sounded down.
It's hard to live that way week after week, and I know you want to play perfect all the time. It's not humanly possible. I mean, I know you want the defense to play better. You can't go in there and expect to shut the Saints out. I'm sorry. You just can't.
I mean,
you hold them to 10 points.
Points. I mean, yeah. I mean, you don't want to say it was all Mark Sanchez, but
well,
it was.
Well, that's what you're trying to do. You're not trying to pin all the loss on one area of the team. But to sit there and nitpick a defense, going up against an offense that averaged 40 points a game, and you allow 10 points.
And the touchdown they gave up was because they were exhausted.
So you did everything you could. And so I know you're trying to distribute the blame around so the defense doesn't get that chip on its shoulder like, well, we did our job. But at the same time, if you expect better from that defense, I think you're going to be disappointed sometimes because I thought the defense played spectacular.
They allow a field goal on the first drive. They have two amazing goal line stands. We haven't even brought up the job that Darrell Revis did on Marquez Colston. He had, what, two catches for 33 yards? So he has just been shut down on some of the great receivers in the game, and that's been completely overlooked. So a loss is a loss. It's a tough one. You never want that number in the loss column, but gosh, their defense looked really good yesterday.
You know, one thing, you don't want this guy to beat himself up like that. It's not good for his health either, because he sounded like a completely different guy than he has in any of the previous times that we spoke to him. Obviously, he was flying high after the other three, but there's got to be some balance there because he sounded really, really down in the dumps.
You're in the middle of the Michael K. Show podcast.
Every Monday at this time, it's the Eli Manning Report, powered by New York Community Bank and the NYCB Family of Banks, celebrating 150 years of service to the community by Panasonic Ideas for Life and New Jersey's Lottery's new Giants Fantasy Football Scratch-Off game. Win up to $100,000 and give your dreams a chance. And Eli Manning, the quarterback of the Giants, joins us now. Eli, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. Now, how are you doing?
You know, a little sore. So, you know, it's, you know, I guess a little bit more sore than normal after a game. And, you know, just, you know, Wayne got an MRI and, you know, it didn't really come back with anything new, or it just kind of shows where the inflammation is. And, you know, it's, I just got to really take it day by day. You know, nothing, there's no secret to healing this. It's just kind of ice and time and staying off of it. And, you know, hopefully I feel better tomorrow and just get better each day.
Now, there have been reports out there that it's plantar fasciitis. Is that what it is?
I guess that's technically what it is. You know, just kind of, you know, that foot beneath your foot. You know, it's just kind of that, and the heel portion is just a little tender right now.
Now, from what I've heard, Eli, that is a very, very painful injury. I've seen baseball players shut down for a year. It's all about pain management. What have you been told by the doctors? And you've proven that you're a guy who handles pain, and you had a separated shoulder, and you didn't even miss a game. But what's the deal with the pain here, and what have the doctors said?
You know, that's just pretty much what they said. Just how can you deal with it? How do you feel as the game gets closer and by the week? And again, it's not you know, from talking to the doctor, he said it's not as serious an injury as he's seen before, where it's the whole, you know, the whole foot is hurting. It's just kind of a, you know, a portion of it, and you know, so he just, you know, doctor didn't really give me a time frame. And you know, last time he told me I was with the shoulder, he said, you know, last time I said you're gonna be out a month and you play the next week. So you know, there is no time frame. It's just really how fast you can heal, and you know, see how you feel these next couple of days.
Now here's the weird part though. You had been quoted saying that there was some kind of pop, and some people thought Achilles, and everything that I've heard about plantar fasciitis is it's almost like a debilitating injury that comes over time. Had you ever had any pain in the heel before?
You know, being a football player and an athlete, you're always going to have some foot pains and stuff there before, you know, and just, you know, you don't think anything of it. It hasn't, you know, kept me out of anything, and you know, nothing has been an issue in the past. But, you know, just it just kind of felt like you pulled a muscle or something a little bit down there, and you know, that's kind of, you know, really all I know. It just, you know, felt that there was a strain. You know, I kind of had a certain moment, and you know, I'm walking around today. It's, you know, it's a little tender, but you know, hopefully, you know, my goal is to try to get back, you know, where I can do some stuff Wednesday in practice.
Now, do you have to take, let's say, if you play on Sunday, and first of all, is that a possibility? And second of all, do you have to take pain injections?
You know, it was, I don't have all those answers. You know, I'm just gonna have to see. You know, they can always give you, you know, something, you know, anti-inflammatory or something that will, you know, take away some of the pain. And so, it's really just a matter of kind of day by day how it's feeling, and go from there. You know, it's got to kind of see, you know, again, I'm kind of taking it one day at a time. And you know, I've been through injuries before, and you know, it's, you know, you can be feeling awful on, you know, Monday is obviously the day where it is going to feel the worst, and you know, hopefully just, you know, starts feeling a little bit better tomorrow and gets better every day. So all I can do, you know, all I can control right now is just doing all my treatments I can possibly do. You know, talking to the trainers, just trying to get, you know, what can I do? What can I possibly do to get this thing healed up? But you know, that's what I'm going to try to do.
You injured it on the incompletion to Smith, but you stayed in for the touchdown pass to Nix. Why did you stay in the extra play?
Well, you know, because I could stand up. I knew what the next play was. We actually had a couple, you know, two plays called. I didn't even call the other one. I knew we had that screen was an option, and I knew I could make that throw. And you know, Nix did the rest, and you know, scores a touchdown, and you know, great play by him. And I don't know. I kind of got asked today if I could have stayed in and finished the game, and I'm not sure if I know that answer. I think I, you know, my gut would have told me I would have tried to stay in and play, whether you know, I had kind of got taped up where that was gonna take away some of the pain. But I think scoring that touchdown and we had the big lead, I wasn't put in a situation where I had to try to go in there and risk making anything worse, so we could kind of look at it and see what the situation was.
Here's a two-parter. Number one, if you had to play tomorrow, could you?
You know, I just, it's tough to say. You know, obviously, that's a good thing about football is you got a week between each game. And, you know, if I had to play tomorrow, I'd be probably, you know, trying to figure out what's the best thing to you know, kill some of the pain and whatnot. And I know I'd give it a shot, to say the least. And so I don't know if I have that answer. You know, and you know, my goal is to get ready for Sunday. That's kind of my approach. I also want to be able to practice this week, so I'll just keep that mindset and for now.
Okay. And as of right now, how does that foot injury impact your mechanics and your throwing?
Well, you know, I think that's kind of part of the reason the trainers didn't want me going in the game the other day is that you know, when you do have an injury, you start you start doing things a little differently. You start tweaking maybe the way you step into a throw, and all of a sudden, instead of, you know, using your legs to make a throw or pushing off with with your legs. You're using more arm, and you can make things worse. So, I got to be conscious of that, this week in practice and how things go, and make sure, I'm not out there, making my shoulder tired or getting bad mechanics, using too much arm and getting a sore elbow or shoulder or whatnot. So, it's got to be smart and this week in practice and what I'm doing and just kind of take it day by day, hoping for the best. And I've always considered myself a fast healer, and I want to be out there. I want to get back to playing, and I just got to do everything I can to get back out there.
Now, I know this is still new, getting the information today, Eli. I'm wondering, is this the type of injury that can get better with a week's rest without playing? Let's say if you skip the Raider game and then you'd be ready for the Saints, or did the doctors say, hey, listen, in order for this to really heal, you got to be off it for a couple of months? Well, what was the explanation, and do you think it would benefit you to sit out one game?
No, he didn't say anything that it benefit me, sitting out a week. That's kind of the first question I ask is this, can I make this worse? If I go out and run tomorrow, can I injure it more than it is now? And he said, well, that's, obviously anything's possible, but he typically said this type of injury, kind of whatever you do the first time is usually kind of as bad as it's going to be. So that's always kind of what you want to hear, promising, where you can kind of, push yourself a little bit to try to, see what you can do and how far you can go kind of early on. I think that's the positive thing. And, if I can be out there and play, I'm going to go out there and play. And that's my goal right now.
All right, gut feeling. Are you going to play against the Raiders or not? Gut feeling.
My gut feeling is always that I'm going to play. When I hurt my shoulder 2 years ago and they told me I was going to be out for a month, I had a gut feeling I was going to play on that next week. I said, after I hurt my shoulder that game, I still went back in. I threw a touchdown, a Plaxico burst. I figured after I hurt this one, I went back, I stayed in. I threw a touchdown to Akeem Nicks. So, hopefully I can get back out there. And obviously, I want to be able to play, but I got to be able to play well and put our make sure if I'm in there, I put our team in a situation that we can do everything. I can function. I can move in the pocket. I can make plays, and it's going to be for the best for the team, not just so I'm out there.
How does the pain today compare to yesterday after the game?
It's really about the same, and it's no worse than it was yesterday, and I think that's always a good sign. Sometimes when you hurt something, it really, a lot of the pain doesn't kick in until the next day or two, and so I think it's probably about the same as it was yesterday, and so I think that is a positive thing, and planning on it being even less tomorrow.
How much does this stink? The team's playing well, you win three games in a row on the road, and things are rolling, and then this has to happen. Is there any woe is me with you?
No, there's no woe is me. That's just football, you're gonna get banged up, and it's about kind of taking the measures to get back healthy and get go back out there and whatever. You're always gonna go through obstacles as an athlete, as a player, and just kind of dealing with these things and making it becoming better for it.
Now I got to ask you one question off the reservation here, and it's about what happened with Tom Brady yesterday. And the Ravens were upset with those calls, and then Rodney Harrison on NBC said, Tom has to take the skirt off and put on a pair of pants. Do you believe, Eli, that quarterbacks are overprotected? And I don't know if you saw those plays. Did you think those were legitimate penalties?
It's just kind of what the rules are right now, it's nothing. Tom Brady didn't do anything wrong. He's going out there playing. The refs are calling the penalties, and it's just everybody knows the rules. You can't dive at the legs, and you can't go for the head. It's not like it works both ways. I know Flacco is about 6'8", so maybe it's hard for guys to get to his head with a hit. But those calls are going to come on both sides and everywhere. I got no, you're asking the wrong guy for sympathy for a quarterback. I like the fact that quarterbacks are protected, and the more protection, the better in my mind.
Eli, good luck with the injury, and we're looking forward to seeing you play on Sunday, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Hey, thanks. a lot. I appreciate it.
This has been the Michael K. Show Podcast. Exclusive interviews and nonstop Team 1050 coverage. Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show Podcast.